You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Everybody needs a place to call their home.
Oh, I have sizzle.
Everybody needs someone to call their own. Even when you're lonely, no, you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Pack Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. A fantastic episode. I'm so excited for this episode because this is pretty much the last episode before the real deal football starts, and that means that training camp is right around the corner. I'm talking like literally right around the corner, as in tomorrow, training camp starts, football's back. I can't honestly be any happier. I think this is what I live for. This is the beauty of life, and this is what football is all about. I'm getting the itch. The pads are coming back. I'm excited to have my co-host back. Blaine, how are you feeling?
I'm doing great, Freddie. And you know that you just said it. The itch is there, and I'm gonna scratch mine. Hopefully on Saturday morning, I get up to Green Bay and get to see a little bit of action on the field for the first time this season. So I'm pumped about that, and I'm really excited to kick the season off. And this is kind of almost our kickoff episode to get the 2017-18 season started for us. So let's have a good one.
Yeah, I'm excited. You said something about Saturday. I am probably going to be there with you on Saturday. We're going to head out to Ray Nitschke and check it out. I'm excited. Just for the season, I think this is, I know every year we say this is our year, this is what's going to happen, so I'm going to say it again, I think this is the year, I think it's the year we get back to the Super Bowl and we bring it home, so this could be a monumental season for us, so stay tuned with us in the Sweep. Before we get started on it, let's say thanks out there to all of our sponsors, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. You can see them at www.prideandglory63.com. Awesome stuff, awesome shirts. The new shirts, the helmet, you guys got to check it out. It is just beautiful. It is an homage to all that is Packer, from Acme to Aaron. It's got it all. It is the hottest new shirt out there right now. There's hats. There's all sorts of good stuff. So check out prideandglory63.com. And as always, our sponsors, Ground Round here in Neenah, Wisconsin. Fantastic place, 21 TVs. You'll hear from the man himself, Ryan Badley, a little later on. And again, our newest sponsor, Go Pack Go, I Bleed the Green and Gold, the biggest, largest Facebook group for Packer fans. Over 30,000 followers of that. 30,000. That's like bigger than a city. I mean, that's incredible. It's the coolest, most interactive, fun page out there on Facebook. If you're a Packer fan and you're not a fan of that group, you're not really a Packer fan. You need to step your game up. You need to be a part of it. Get active in it. And I'm telling you, the giveaways from the man himself, Jim Cooper, the one who runs it, is unbelievable. So make sure you guys check out all those sponsors. We are so grateful. We are excited to be back with them for this year, a new season. It's going to be a fun one, so stay tuned for a lot of good giveaways, a lot of fun stuff there. But yeah, I mean, it's here. Training camp starts tomorrow, man. I mean, that's it. Does it get any more real? I mean, this is it. We've played football. We knew that when camp starts, this is it. I mean, the guys arrived at St. Norbert the other day. Aaron Nagler just tweeted out this morning that Martellus Bennett slept on the floor next to his locker last night. I mean, that's that to me. Like, I know. Listen, people out there that are listening, I bleed football. Blaine bleeds football. That's like that's like when you're a little kid. My son is starting Pop Warner in a couple weeks. He would sleep next to his locker if he had one. So that, to me, like, that's what I love about Bennett. And we'll get into Bennett a little bit. But the more and more I hear about this guy, see about this guy, I am obsessed with this guy. But let's get into what we're here for, and that is to kind of throw out our projected 53-man roster. And let's start with quarterback position. I think it's safe to say, you know, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to make the team. He's probably going to be the starter. I think that there's no question there. I think for us going into training camp preseason, I think it'll be exciting to see Hundley, his progression. Never been a big fan, but for some weird reason lately, I've been kind of digging him. I think the real question, though, going into training camp is how many quarterbacks do we keep? Obviously, we keep Rodgers. Obviously, we have Hundley. Does Callahan get put on the practice squad? You know, does Taysom Hill get cut? How many quarterbacks are you thinking we keep?
To start the season, I'm thinking they're going to have three on the roster. And I can kind of explain that a little bit later when we get into our receiver situation and a little bit on the running backs as well. But Joe Callahan, he's going to be a tough stash. I mean, he's got to be the guy. I know a lot of people are high on Taysom Hill and are going to say, well, you move on from Joe Callahan because you've invested time in him and you know he's never going to be anything special anyways. But I disagree with that. I think that they're comfortable with Joe Callahan. They have invested some time into him, and they lost him last year once. He ended up in New Orleans for a couple of weeks, and then we got him back from them due to the fact that we didn't have enough space. We needed to create space on the roster for, I believe, a running back at the time. So given the running back situation and another situation that we'll get into a little bit later, I think week one he will be on the roster. It'll be a little bit easier to stash him on the practice squad after week one, but I will get into that a little bit here after we get to running backs and wide receivers. But yes, I think week one we will have three quarterbacks on the roster.
Well, let's move then to running backs. I think that's a question a lot of it seems to be the popular question amongst fans. And that's the Ty Montgomery issue and whether or not he really is a running back and people don't know. I think, and I've said this from day one, I think Ty Montgomery is absolutely a running back. I think that he's put in the work this offseason. I've seen a lot of film of him this offseason, video taken of his workouts. He looks as big as he did before. He's jacked. I don't know why anyone thinks he's not big enough. You know, he's going to be, like I said in a few episodes, the catalyst of this offense. I think that he's the secret weapon. I think he's the guy that can do so much. I absolutely love the idea of having Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams. I think they are going to complement each other fantastic. I think Jamal Williams is your old school, you know, typical back from back in the day. You know, he's big guy, strong guy, carries the ball well. He will probably be a little bit more potentially reliable in pass protection in the sense that he is bigger. I don't know if hopefully he understands it because it is so important. But, you know, past Ty Montgomery, I think we know Jamal Williams obviously is going to be on there. I think after that, you have to think Aaron Jones and then Devontae Mays. But are they keeping all four of those guys when you have to factor in your doppelganger in the sense and Aaron Ripkowski? You have to consider him basically as a running back when it comes to this roster situation and what you're keeping. I think for me personally, I think it's Montgomery, Williams, Jones, and Ripkowski. I think those are the guys that stay on the roster. And Mays, you take a chance and put him on the practice squad.
Yeah, and this is where it gets interesting with the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers because of a suspended player that we have for week one. I think that Joe Callahan will take that roster spot week one. And I agree with you. I think it's Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, Aaron Ripkowski. And then you have Devontae Mays as your emergency backup on the practice squad. And as unfortunate as that may seem, because I think Devontae Mays has the talent to be on an NFL roster, what I'm hoping is that they can stash him on there to the last cut, that he sticks around and he ends up in camp until the very last cut, which is going to make some other teams make some decisions. It's hard to sign players that you haven't seen in your camp as soon as another team cuts them, because you have all these other guys that were in your camp the whole time, you know, and you know exactly what you have. To go sign a guy off of somebody else's practice squad, because everybody will have the right to sign them to a contract as soon as we put them on the practice squad. And I just don't think that anybody's going to have enough information on the guy to scoop him up. Joe Callahan, on the other hand, people know about him. He's got some tape in the preseason. He's already been on another team besides Green Bay. So I think that's why you get the Joe Callahan to make the roster, to kind of protect him into the season a little bit. And you'll be able to stash Devontae Mays on the practice squad. And you know what? If he gets signed and he gets a contract and he's on the team's 53 man, good for him. That's awesome. You don't ever want to hold a player back per se, but he doesn't fit. It's almost the same guy as Jamal Williams, just a poor man's Jamal Williams. And I'm basing that off of the information that we have. Everybody's high on Jamal Williams. He's not going anywhere. So, and I put Aaron Jones above Devontae Mays because he's a different type of back. He's a smaller back. He's something that we haven't really had, and I think we need that. I think he would be more of a replacement for Ty Montgomery if something were to happen injury-wise. I think he's got a little bit more similar of a skill set to Ty Montgomery, which kind of gives you the 1A and the 1B with Jamal and Aaron if something happens to Ty. And another luxury we have there is that if we do get depleted at wide receiver, that Ty Montgomery, he knows the route tree, and he can easily slide out and be a wide receiver if he needs to.
Yeah, it's nice to have such a bevy of weapons.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, it blows my mind to think that we went from how we were last year running back-wise to having almost 4 to 5 running backs. One of them can easily switch over to receiver, and one of them is also a fullback.
Right, that's the greatest thing about Aaron Ripkowski is we can't forget that he's proven himself very capable of being able to run the ball. He had one mishap in the playoff game, and it sucked. I know that. It's my favorite Packer at the moment. But we can't hold him to that because he's very valuable, especially in pass protection, and Aaron Rodgers loves him. So if he's good enough for Aaron Rodgers, it's good enough for me.
And I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but I had seen a stat a couple of days ago, or weeks ago, of him averaging 4 or 5 yards almost a carry at some point. And he's an added weapon. He's a goal line back. He's almost more than a goal line back. I mean, he can, if all needs to happen, we can put him in there and he can run for a game.
Right.
And he's probably going to be exhausted and he might need, oxygen and some blood transfusions afterwards, but he will do it. And that's what I love about this team is the versatility across the board with different players. So it's exciting. We'll move on from them. I think we both agree on what's going on with it. Halfback, fullback this year. It's pretty obvious that Bennett is the guy. He comes in and has a lot of pressure on him. I don't think it's bad pressure. I don't think it's over necessary pressure. I think it's the right pressure. I think we've longed for that tight end since JaMychal Finley. We got a taste of it with Cook. I think we all know what Bennett can do, and we know who he's going to be playing with. And so we expect there to be some type of greatness and 10 touchdown plus season. And I think Bennett can handle it. I don't think Bennett's the kind of guy who gets in his head. Obviously, like I said in the intros, I think that he is just a fascinating, interesting person. And I think he has his mind so set on the total picture. And football is just something that he puts his time and effort into it, but it's not overdone. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I like his casual approach to it, yet he also is very dedicated. So again, I don't think that makes any sense, but if you kind of catch my gist there, you kind of understand. I think then after that, You have Lance Kendricks. Love Lance Kendricks. Big fan of his when he was at Wisconsin. He, as well as is, you know, even Jared Cook, just haven't had the opportunity to play with a good quarterback. He's obviously on probably the tail end of his career, but I think he's going to be a nice weapon, and I think he's going to be someone that, at that point where he lines up, you just don't have any more defenders. They're all taken with Jordy Cobb, Ty, you know, Bennett. I mean, well, who do you have left at some point? So I think he has a chance to really kind of shine, just because he'll almost be that you know, runt of the litter guy that no one really remembers is on the field, and then all of a sudden, holy shit, Lance Kendricks just scored a 50-yard touchdown. And then past Kendricks is Richard Rodgers, who, he's a conundrum to me, because I think there's talent there, but he's just never quite done what we wanted him to do, and I don't think he has that explosive feature to him. But he could be someone that we see actually get a decent amount of touchdowns, per se, in the red zone, because, like I just said with Kendricks, he's gonna be the guy that gets lost in the mix. And he's a big target. He's a good red zone target. And so, you know, he could actually sneak in and have one of his better seasons, which would be fitting considering it is a contract year. So, again, we struggled with tight end for so many years. And now I'm looking, sitting here thinking, it's nice that we have three pretty damn good options.
Yeah. And the tight end position, we're on the same page. Pretty much everything you said is all I would be able to say. I think the only thing I'm going to touch on is about Martellus Bennett is you're saying it almost exactly correct. He's dedicated to football, but what keeps him grounded and probably keeps him sane is that he has other interests outside of football. So when he's not just spending time in the playbook and preparing for the season, he has other things to release him from that. So when he's focused on football, he's just focused on football. But when he wants to take a break and just kind of get his mind off of it a little bit, he has so many other things going on with his animation company and other things to keep him busy, which it's refreshing because he wears that on his sleeve and we know about it. And I think that's why he's so likable. He's a normal person. We all have our jobs, but we also all have our interests outside of football. We don't have a platform like he does to portray that and be in the limelight a little bit and live. He lives his life in the spotlight no matter what he's doing, whether it's football or his other interests. And that's the cool part about Martellus Bennett.
I'm obsessed with him. Like, I love him. I love what he's all about. I love his philanthropy. I love the fact that he's out there. I love the fact that he's going to bring a goofy, fun environment into the locker room. You know, I think he's really going to bring some type of, you know, splash and bubblegum feel to the locker room. I know it sounds kind of weak, but I think that's what this team kind of needs. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to feed off that really well because Aaron Rodgers is a goof. And he, you know, I think that that's something that we've lacked in the last couple of years. And I think it's gotten a little stuffy. And I think that's good. I mean, you look back at when Favre was around and his most successful years were when things were light and when things were goofy. And when you play your best ball when you're not trying to play your best ball, in a sense. I mean, you got to be a little loose. These players know what they're doing, but when they get too far into it, a little too into their head, is when you start sometimes making mistakes. Yep. So it's good for them to have that lightness to it, and I think Bennett's going to bring that. Yes. Moving past tight ends, this every year, and this is not a bad thing, folks, but we run into this, the wide receiver position. Who do we keep? You know, you could keep 10 guys. And that, like I said, it's not a bad thing. But if you're keeping, how many are you keeping and who are you keeping?
Well, week one, I have 7. And obviously there's 3 very obvious ones, and that's Jordy, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams. And then after that, you know, it's going to be fun. This is one of the things that I'm going to watch a lot when I get to camp. and have an opportunity. I'm going to watch their drills. I'm going to watch them in the team activity and see who's taking reps with which quarterbacks and where they're at. How many times is Randall Cobb going to line up on the outside? Probably not much. You have two guys on the outside, Nelson and Adams, that's where they belong. Now, is Jordy going to line up in the slot once in a while? Of course he is. He's not a 27, 26, 27, 28-year-old young man anymore. He probably doesn't have that extra step anymore. So putting him in the slot's probably going to be beneficial at times. Is he still your deep ball guy? I think so. The great part about that is I think we have two of them now in Devontae. And if when you have Nelson on the outside, Adams on the other side, and Randall in the slot, and then Marty Bennett at tight end, and Ty Montgomery come out of the backfield, it's going to be so hard to stop that set in itself, let alone you throw in a speedster like Jeff Janis, who I also have making the team, and Trevor Davis, who is going to progress in his, you know, he's going to develop into I don't know if he'll be a role player or if he's going to have a bigger role than even just that. But even if he comes in and catches three or four touchdowns for a couple hundred yards, that's a step in the right direction. And then you have the two rookies. You have D'Angelo Yancey, who, you know, he is a wild card. He could be Geronimo Allison times five, times 10, maybe. You think you know what you got in him out of Purdue, making big plays, averaging, I think, almost 20 yards a catch with Purdue. So he could be that young playmaker if one injury happens. I think beyond that, him and Malachi Dupree, I'm saying it right now, right?
Yep, you got it.
I think those guys, they're going to be your backup if we have an injury problem at wide receiver. And they're going to be around. And I think you have to keep them on the roster to develop that timing with Rodgers. And, you know, they're probably not going to get a ton of snaps with the first team, but they're going to be serviceable if they do get the call. Now, that's who I had. Those are my seven for week one. Now, the big question is going to be what happens week two when Geronimo Allison is back from a suspension. This is where it gets interesting with Joe Callahan. I think this is week two is when Joe Callahan gets moved down, bumped down, and Geronimo comes up and they have eight. Eight receivers is a lot, but you know what? When you have them and your quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, you need them. And given Randall Cobb's injury history over the last couple of years, there's definitely an opportunity for some of these younger guys in Janis, Davis, Yancey, Dupree, Allison, they're going to get an opportunity at some point this season. There will be a game where we don't have one of our top three. It's almost a guarantee. Jordy's missed some games. Cobb's missed some games. Adams had a nagging ankle injury a few years ago. So I honestly think that most of the season you're going to see seven or eight on Sunday, wide receivers.
Well, I think it's just an attribute to the league. This is what the league is now. It's
yep.
And it's been a passing league. It's becoming more of a passing league. I mean, just look at, you know, the rosters and look at, you know, how many teams do you look at there out there and you're like, oh, they're a running team. Not really that many. I just think, I mean, when you say that they're going to keep eight receivers, it sounds so ridiculous because you're like, that's insane. I remember when we were battling of what whether or not we should keep six, and now we're talking about keeping eight. So it's interesting. I can't really disagree with much. You know, Jordy, of course, Cobb, of course, Devontae, of course. I think that Trevor Davis is going to have a great year. I think he's going to step up a little bit. I love Yancey. I think he's got a lot of potential. I've never been a monster fan of Geronimo Allison. I think he was the flash in the pan guy that just stepped up last year, and I appreciate it, and I think it's awesome. I don't know if he's consistent in that part. Hopefully he is. I mean, I don't want him not to be. I just don't know if he is. But you can't really lose any of these guys, and you can't chance any of them being picked up by putting them on the practice squad, which is why I think that you almost have to keep them for a little while. Again, I'm not the hugest Jeff Janis fan, but I think he makes it strictly because of special teams. I think that a couple of these guys are going to make the team because of special teams.
That's going to be huge. That's going to be huge to keep an eye on as well, as far as the receivers go. Yancey and Dupree are probably going to have to find a niche on special teams. They're going to have to play somewhere. If we're going to keep seven, possibly eight, they're going to have to find a way to get on the field on a special teams unit. Because if they can't, it's going to be hard to stash them on the roster. And that's just the way it is. They might not like it, but they're going to have to figure it out if they want an NFL contract and they want to play for the Green Bay Packers. It's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I agree.
Because based off of, so come week two, you got two quarterbacks, four running backs, three tight ends, and eight wide receivers. That's quick Nina math. You got 6, 9. You got 17 of your 53, and you haven't even touched your offensive lineman yet.
Well, luckily for us, we have no depth at offensive line, so that's kind of nice, and we won't have to keep a lot of guys.
That's an interesting comment, and I can't wait to hear who you got.
Well, let's get into it. All right, let's go through our starting offensive line: Bakhtiari at left tackle. Taylor left guard. I have Taylor at left guard. Lindsley at center. Jari Evans at right guard. Bulaga at right tackle. Starting offensive line. That's damn good offensive line right there. I mean, there's a lot of experience, a lot of talent.
Probably the best pass blocking offensive line in the league.
Okay, so we'll go with that. Now we go past that. Let's move past the starting offensive line. I have, Kyle Murphy and Jason Spriggs. They can go either side on either tackle.
Spriggs can play guard.
He could also play guard. But for the sake of it, I'm putting them both at tackle. Mm-hmm. And then I have Barclay and Kofi, the rookie, as backups at guard. I think, obviously, realistically, Spriggs will start if Barclay would have to start. It'll go where it'll most likely be Spriggs, Barclay, Murphy, Amichia, when it comes in depth of who's going to be replacing offensive linemen. Not much for backup center. I think Barclay would be our only option.
I also believe that Kyle Murphy has taken some reps there in an emergency situation. So, if you get to the third center, I'm pretty sure it's Kyle Murphy.
Yeah, if we get to the third center, shit's going to happen. We might have to sign somebody. But
yeah, they'll bring Jeff Saturday off ESPN.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight, so I don't know.
He's got two pretty good guards and two pretty good tackles to play with. I'm pretty sure he could just get in the way.
He'd be fine. Kyle Murphy, big fan of. I think that, he was a project guy, but I think he will be the guy that we see in the future, a lot more on our offensive line. I know Spriggs has beefed up a little bit, so that's exciting. And then the Kofi, the rookie, total project guy, but just ridiculous when it comes to attributes as an offensive lineman. So the starters, fantastic. The backups, I think there's enough. I think when you look at the depth chart, you almost want to see one or two guys behind every single starter. I think with our offensive line and with basically the whole entire team as a whole, and what Ted does is just versatility, 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 versatility. And you may only have four legitimate backups on the offensive line, but those three offensive linemen can play any position.
Yep.
So that's, you know, it's nice to not have, okay, well, yeah, we have a backup, but he only is good at left tackle. Okay, well, what if the right tackle gets hurt? Well, tough shit. No, we have someone that can play left tackle, right tackle, and guard.
Yeah.
So that's what Ted does so damn well. And I know I said we don't have a ton of depth, and that's just maybe looking at numbers. But when it comes down to it, I think that we have enough depth.
I agree. And we have the same 9 guys on our list and pretty much in the same positions. It's kind of a no-brainer. I don't think there's a whole lot of competition for any starting spot there. Spriggs is not ready. I think him and Murphy are both future starting tackles and or guards for us. Whatever comes first, I think, whatever need is first is where they'll make their money. I think Kyle Murphy is probably next year. I don't see Jerry Evans being around for too long. I think that could be a 1-year plug and play just to buy time for Murphy. And then I think Spriggs eventually, I can't remember when Bulaga's contract expires. I think he's got 2 or 3 years left on it. And then I see him kind of shifting, being phased out and Spriggs moving in there for a 4 or 5 year stretch. And then whoever Ted is preceded by will hopefully have that same vision and have guys ready after them.
Yes.
And that pretty much, that's shaping up our offense. And if my Nina math is correct, that puts us at 26. So we have 26 of our 53 on offense.
Not bad. Not bad at all. I think what's ESPN or somebody had him projected at like 28 or 29, which I thought was kind of a lot. So I think that's right. I think that's what we're going to see. I think the thing with this year is that there's not a whole lot of surprises. There's not a whole lot of what ifs. There's not a whole lot of well maybes. I think the other thing is and I was going to bring this up a little later, but it's one of the first years that you can almost guarantee that no undrafted free agent is even going to make the team, which Ted has always been really good at bringing in at least 1 or 2 guys. So I think that's a strange concept for us.
And, you know, we're obviously doing this before camp has started, and we can't predict injuries. That's something that I just won't even get into it because it's impossible. To predict an injury or somebody major going down in camp, I just don't do it. It's not something that I like to do. It's not something that I think is even realistic. So everybody needs to take that with a grain of salt. If week 1 comes around and we have 3 or 4 whatever's happened during camp and we're totally off here, obviously an injury, a couple of injuries here and there to young guys throughout camp can change this whole picture. But I'm basing mine off of, and I'm sure you are, assuming that we get through camp relatively healthy. I'm sure we'll get 1 or 2 wrong. But basing off of the information we have now, I think we are pretty much spot on.
Yeah. I think we're always pretty much spot on, to be totally honest with you.
That's right.
Which is why people need to listen to the show, which is why Ground Round has been a sponsor with us for 2 years.
Hey, Wisconsin sports fans. It's Ryan Bailey from the Ground Round Grill and Bar here in Enid. July is one of my favorite months. Summer's in full swing, the golf course is open, and the sun is shining. We even get to see a few fireworks. But that's not where it ends. July is a big month for us here at the Ground Round. The patio is officially open, and with our large menu, new burger selections, and daily specials, we have something for everyone. Don't forget, our outdoor patio is now dog-friendly, so you don't have to leave your furry friends at home when you're heading out to grab a bite to eat. Thursdays in July are a perfect night to sit around 1 of 4 fire pit tables on the patio while enjoying live music from 6 to 9 p.m. and $1.99 margaritas. If you don't want to miss your favorite sporting event, stop by and check out our newly remodeled sports lounge that includes 21 TVs, and free popcorn. If you're staying home, don't worry. We've got you covered too. Let us bring your favorite GroundRound items to you with delivery service offered 7 days a week. Order online at groundroundnina.com or call us at 725-1010. And now, back to the guys at the sweep.
All right, thanks, Batley. Let's move on then to defense. I think offense was pretty self-explanatory. I don't think there's any huge question marks there. I think a lot of people, you know, question the running back thing. Well, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with how good Ty Montgomery is. And then, you know, just the depth at receiver is really the only questions there. Going into defense, you know, just the kryptonite of our team last year, apparently. What do you want to start? Do you want to start from the backside? Do you want to start from the defensive line? Should we switch it up? What do you want to do?
Let's start with the D-line. I think it's probably one of our more, you know, we're not super deep, but I think it's another self-explanatory spot for us. I have Ted keeping six. That number may seem low, but everybody's got to remember that we're not including the outside linebackers, which are primarily pass rushers for us. We only have technically three defensive linemen on the field at a time, so it gives us two deep at each spot. The obvious ones are Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, and Ricky Jean Francois. After that, I have Dean Lowry, the draft pick. Montravius Adams, and then the last spot is actually something that I will another spot that I'll keep an eye on throughout camp. We have Christian Ringo and Brian Price. Ultimately, I think Ringo edges Brian Price out, but I think it's going to be one of those battle till the end of camp. It's going to be those two will be there until the end, and they'll both be wondering which one gets the call for the season. I'm not sure what would happen if we tried to put one of those two on the practice squad. I don't know if you use a spot on the practice squad for a defensive lineman. That'll be kind of interesting to see once this all shakes out. But those are the six guys I have them keeping. And it really wouldn't surprise me a whole lot if they kept Brian Price instead of Christian Ringo. I just know that I like Christian Ringo. When he has had an opportunity, he's kind of stuck his nose in there a little bit. And I think the staff likes him as well. So that's why I'm giving him the edge there.
Yeah, I can't argue much there with you on that one. I think, you know, Kenny Clark is going to have a huge year. I love the addition of Ricky Jean. I think he is just a good depth, good veteran there. Mike Daniels, the Rhino, he's just a freaking beast. You know, the pickup of Adams is big, and I love Christian Ringo. I've loved him since day one, and I like Brian Price. I think Brian Price has a lot of upside. It's just one of those things where is he just not quite good enough to make the team? You know, he's good, but we just don't have the space maybe for him to be on here. It's definitely a possibility. Let me quick ask you one question about another defensive lineman.
I knew you were going to bring him up. I was going to try to avoid him like the plague.
I know. Well, he is turning out to be the plague. What do we do with Guyon? Is this? I mean, I know how I feel about it. I want to hear what you think about his
exploit. Cut him loose. Get rid of him.
Now? Today?
Yeah, I mean, the sooner the better, in my opinion. It's just... how many chances can you give a guy? I mean, I think he's had a longer leash than most in Green Bay, and I'm kind of surprised that they haven't already dealt with the situation. And maybe they're waiting. They don't want to do a Dallas situation with like what they just did with Lucky Whitehead. I understand that. And maybe they'll let him serve his suspension and then just not bring him back. And maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe they think he's valuable enough to keep around. My question to anybody who thinks that they're going to keep him around is, who do you cut loose? Because that's another roster spot for a potential headache. And I just don't see why he has any value on this team, why he deserves to have another opportunity.
Well, in my book, his ass should have been gone yesterday. It's ridiculous. You've been given your opportunities. You've pissed on every single one of them. And it's not needed. It's a headache in the locker. It's a headache on the team. And like you said, you're taking up a roster spot. You're holding us hostage every year with your stupid suspensions. And it's ridiculous. I have a good stat from Ryan Wood. And since 2013, Mike Daniels, 20 sacks, leads the Packers interior defensive linemen. Guess who's in second place?
Guyan is with like 2.5 or 3 or something.
3.5. Like, cool. I mean, that's nothing. It's not like we don't need to keep him. He's not that good. And I think we've got young guys that are going to step up. And I think Ricky Jean is basically the replacement for Guyan. And I think that we've got plenty of good, young, exciting depth on that defensive line. So cheaper. I know everyone. Yeah, cheaper. I know everyone looks at the defensive line and only sees, you know, Mike Daniels.
Kenny Clark's going to be a beast. I know you kind of touched on it. He, as a rookie, I think people expected a lot being a first-round pick. He was solid. And I think a lot of people forget what that position entails. Mike Daniels is very, very, very rare and special. He's probably a top-5 interior defensive lineman in the league, in my opinion. Maybe a little biased, whatever. If he's not top 5, he's pushing that door down. Kenny Clark is right there. He's young. He is probably, I would put him in the top 20, and he's in year 2. Now, let's not forget the style of defense that we play and what those guys are in there for. They're not there to rack up sack after sack after sack. Not even really get tackles. They're to eat up offensive linemen so that the linebackers and the safeties have room to see the ball carrier and make plays after that. That's the style of defense we play. It's not a glamorous spot. Kenny Clark's not probably ever going to lead the team in tackles for loss or sacks ever. It's not what he's there for. He's there to eat up space and eat up blockers, and he does a pretty damn good job of it. That being said, I believe he will make a few splash plays this year that are going to set him out, and people are really going to say, okay, he's starting to pay off. Because year 2, he's going to make that jump. He's got his feet wet. You could start to see a little bit of it later in the year last year. And to be honest, I thought you could see that he was tiring out. It's a long season, but he was still in there, and he was still doing his job. So now he's got a season under his belt. He's got another training camp to go through. He's learning from one of the best in Daniels. He's going to be one of the surprises, I think. And I'm excited to see him progress in year 2.
BJ Raji 2.0, man. I'm telling you.
I'm really excited to see how Dean Lowry comes in, because he was another one that when he got his opportunities, he made the most of them. That's part of the reason why I'm so confident in him making the squad this year, is because it seems like when he does get that opportunity, he takes advantage of it.
I think we obviously know who our outside linebackers are, you know, because they're basically worth half the freaking payroll. Clay Matthews, obviously, Nick Perry. Oh, my goodness. We know what they're all about. Health. Can they stay healthy? Can Clay Matthews please stay healthy for a whole year? And can Perry stay healthy? I think they're both better when each other's on the field. And I think that they feed off each other. But just the injuries have plagued them. And it's just been frustrating. I know we've talked about Matthews a bunch last year. And we battled about Perry. You know, I think if they're both healthy and they're in it, they're fantastic. I just don't know if they can make it through a full season. But you go past those two, you know, and you look at, you know, Kyler Fackrell, who I know no one's really excited about. I love him. I think that he's a big play guy. I don't think he's your consistent guy, but I think he's a big play guy. Kind of a Julius Peppers-like. In the sense that, you know, Peppers is in there, here and there. but he seems to just mostly make big plays. J. Rowan Jelly Elliott, I think he's going to, this is his year. It's got to be his year. So I'm excited for him to come out. And then another guy, outside linebacker, is, you know, Vince Beagle. I'm not sure necessarily if he's a for sure outside linebacker. I think he is, but I think he can also move inside. I think he's a real versatile option. Obviously, it's just a matter of, you know, him getting healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. You know how I feel about Clay. A lot of people over the last day and a half, you know how it is with the lists. They've put out the most overrated player on offense and defense for every team, and he's the one that consistently comes up as the Packers' most overrated defensive player, which, you know, it's hard to, when you look at the stat lines, it's hard to argue that necessarily. He is going to be is he 31 now this year? So he's getting up there a little bit, but we need him to be good. If Clay Matthews is not good, our defense is going to struggle. And when I say Clay Matthews needs to be good, I'm not saying he needs to have 15 sacks. He needs to be between 8 and 11. If he can rack up between 8 and 11 sacks this season, we'll be fine. Contrary to that, Nick Perry, not a fan at all. Didn't like it when they re-signed him. I've never really been on the bandwagon when he got hot last year. You know, we're paying a guy a lot of money based off of two half seasons. And the reason why is because he gets hurt. That's scary to me. History often repeats itself. And he's never been Clay Matthews. And people are going to try to throw, well, Clay gets hurt and Clay takes plays off and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, Clay Matthews has done a lot more in his career than Nick Perry probably ever will. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I'll knock the guy until he gets into the range of 15 sacks in a season. And I don't buy the hype. I don't buy that he even has earned the for sure starting role. There's a guy on my list, and you talked about him a little bit. Jaron Elliott, I think, has a breakout year this year. I need him to have a breakout year this year. I love the guy. He's got a skill set, and he just has never hit his stride yet, and I think this is the year for him. I think that if Clay or Nick goes down, Jaron's the guy that goes in. I think he's the first guy off the bench for Green Bay at outside linebacker, and I expect big things out of him this year. And then the two guys after that, I also have Kyler Fackrell and Vince Beagle. I think Vince Beagle is a poor man's TJ Watt. I like him. I don't know that he's ready to be a major role player this year. I think he needs to get a little bit bigger and probably going to have to adjust to the speed of the NFL. Compared to the Big Ten. But I don't know. I'm thinking our back end might be our best pass rush. The revamped cornerback and safety positions are going to help this out big time. I know a lot of people think that the best way to help out your back end is with a pass rush, but it goes both ways. So I think we should see a little boost in production from our outside linebackers in the pass rush based off of our improved cornerback and safety play as well. So if you want to segue into the cornerbacks, I would love to hear what you have for that group.
That's the fun one. Quick throw out there, Jake and Blake, inside linebacker. I think that's a no-brainer. Joe Thomas, Jordan Tripp behind them. I'm going to quick say, I know that this is a position that you are concerned about with inside linebacker. I love Jake and Blake. I think that they're fantastic. Depth-wise, I know there's some concern. I think, though, that with this defense, the way that it's set up, and for the fact that we have a bevy of safeties, I think that we're going to see a lot more safety play in the linebacker position. I think that that's just a result of what we talked about earlier with the league being so pass heavy that you need more pass defense than you need run defense. So I think that that's something that you can touch on in a second. But going with the corner position, it's an interesting one. Obviously, bringing in Kevin King.
Hold on. So you, how many inside linebackers?
I'm gonna go with three.
Okay.
As of right
I
now,
I just wanted to make sure you weren't saying that Jordan Tripp was going to make the roster.
No. He is just the option. Another guy that could eventually work his way in. No, starting the training camp, Blake, Jake, Joe Thomas, and then obviously safeties moving into that position as well.
I think you're 100% on the inside line. We can carry three because there's two, and you touched on it with Vince Beagle. There's also Clay Matthews that can slide inside, and there's for sure one, probably two or three safeties that could also slide in and fill that role if need be.
Yep.
So I agree with you. They're going to keep three there. Yeah, and that, like you said, that's Ted's thing, and it's probably one of his best attributes as a GM, and I don't say that very much. So
I know. I'm going to make sure and cut that out and put that in the intro. But that's the thing, you know, Ted keeps 53 guys that can play 110 positions.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a math guy, I'm not anything, but I'm sure there's someone sitting around saying, hey, we have this guy who can play two positions, this guy can play three positions, so technically, yes, we only have 53, but we technically also have maybe 75 because they play multiple positions.
Yeah.
So going into the corner, we take Kevin King. You have to assume that he's going to start. Why wouldn't he? He just looks great. He fits the role perfectly. And then opposite of him, your first thought is Devon House. You know, he's a veteran. He knows the system. He's been around. And I think that that's very well true. But I'm going to go with this. I think that starting this season, I think you're going to go Devon House, Ladarius Gunter. I know everyone wants to rip on Gunter. You guys can all message me privately. I would love to talk to you about that. But Gunter is listen, Gunter has the greatest resume in the game right now, coming off of last season. You're talking about a fourth, fifth round guy, or fourth, fifth depth chart guy, a guy that we wouldn't have even talked about on our training camp episode last year. Went in and had to cover the best of the best. I mean, he basically covered every great receiver in the NFL outside of Antonio Brown. And he did a damn good job doing it. So he's earned that position heading into this season. Whether or not he keeps it, whether or not it goes past week one or two or three is up for grabs. But I think he's earned the right to start at corner opposite of Devon House. As of this moment, I think eventually King makes his way into the starting lineup. Whether or not he takes it from House or takes it from Gunter is a whole other option. Honestly, I love Gunter. Obviously, I just said that. I made that pretty obvious. But I think it would be really nice to have Gunter and King on the outside and then House, Randall, Rollins flipping around all up in the inside on the slots and then taking other guys. I just think that that's where everyone is suited better. I'm interested to see how House is. How does House come back to Green Bay and play under the system that he's better suited for? Are we going to get, you know, great production, or is he just not going to be what everyone thinks? I think everyone's kind of labeled him as not labeled him, but it's kind of almost assumed that bringing him back is, well, we're going to save this secondary. I'm just not sold on it yet. So I'm thinking that we probably keep, what do I have, five? corners. I think you can definitely probably throw in maybe one more if you really wanted. But again, I think that with as many safeties, I don't think that we necessarily have to keep a ton of corners at this point. But yeah, so I think Gunter, House to start, and then King moves his way in there. Randall and Rollins kind of stick with a slot type position, and then House can get moved around as well.
Yeah, I have the same group. Our opinions differ a little bit on the strategization of where they'll play and how often they'll play. I think Kevin King comes in and demands a spot right away. I do agree a little bit with you on Gunther. I think he's kind of the lead guy right now as far as guys that are there or have been there. And I see a lot of Devon House, Demaryius Randall, and Quentin Rollins kind of fluctuating around. I also don't think that you can necessarily say that King and Gunther are the only starters. I think you're going to see situational type stuff. Devon House struggles in zone coverage. I know that's not a primary defense for us, but we played some zone last year, and that could suit Kevin King. So a lot of it could be situational type stuff, depending on who we're playing, depending on what kind of scheme they decide to use week to week. I think there's going to be a lot of movement at the defensive back position, specifically corner. I also think that Josh Hawkins, Dimitri Goodson, and Herb Waters have a shot. Those three are – Herb Waters is a project. I understand that he was kind of an emergency project last year, but there's a lot of promise there for a guy moving from a wide receiver position. He's come a long way in a short period of time, and I don't know that they're going to want to give up on that just because of what they have invested in it. Dimitri Goodson's had flash plays here and there, nothing consistent. And Josh Hawkins has also seen the field at times. The way that shakes down for me is one of those three has a chance, and in that scenario, they keep one less safety. It kind of segues, and I'll start with my safeties right now. I have them keeping five. Not ruling out the possibility that they only keep four. The four that they for sure keep is Clinton Dix, Burnett, Josh Jones, the rookie draft pick in the second round, second pick in the second round, and then Kentrell Bryce. He's going to be huge on special teams, and if someone were to go down, he will also be huge. The fifth guy that's kind of my tweener, who I think will be competing for a roster spot more against a cornerback in Josh Hawkins, Goodson, or Herb Waters, is Marwin Evans. You can also throw Jermaine Whitehead in there if they keep five safeties between Marwin Evans and Jermaine Whitehead, but I honestly am not taking out the possibility that they only keep four safeties and one of the three corners that you have cut off making it. I just think that the safeties that they have in HaHa, Clinton Dix, Morgan Burnett, Kentrell Bryce, and Josh Jones are versatile enough to take those two positions with four guys. I think it's enough.
So Burnett moved into kind of a linebacking role last year, kind of coming up as a hybrid. You know how I feel about hybrids. Yep. If you've ever listened to the show, everyone knows hybrid is my shit. So does Burnett move in? Does Josh Jones assume that strong safety position and kind of plant himself there with Burnett moving up? Or is it just a constant rotation amongst the defense? I mean, is it play to play? Is it per game? Or is it kind of a full season gig?
I think you're going to see a lot, and I kind of said it already with the DBs. There's going to be a lot of situational stuff, and I think there's going to be a lot of guys playing a lot of football. I see it possible that at times that we don't have a middle linebacker on the field. a true middle linebacker. I see a pack, a couple of different packages where Jake and Blake and Joe Thomas don't see the field. And you have a Josh Jones or a Morgan Burnett playing that Tampa 2 style zone defense, man-to-man on the outside, two safeties over the top, and one of your hybrid type players roaming that middle linebacker spot. And I think that is a real possibility, and I can't wait to see it because it's going to be scary. You got a lot of speed in that defensive backfield, and specifically at the safety position, you got guys that like to smoke people, man. I mean, Kenshaw Bryce, Morgan Burnett, Josh Jones, Ha Ha Clinton Dix, they're not afraid to lay the wood and just crush guys.
Yeah, Bryce and Jones, I think, are straight up just smasher-facing kind of guys. And that's something that I talked about when we first drafted Jones on the show was I love his tenacity and his aggression. And I think he reminds me a lot of, and I don't want to go too far of a stretch here because this is one of my all-time favorite players in the NFL right now, but he reminds me a little bit of the Honey Badger. And I think that he is going to Tyrann Mathieu, for people who don't know who the Honey Badger is, out of Arizona. I think he has that kind of versatility. Stripped by the end of the season, Josh Jones is going to be the guy that we enter the 2018 season as like our number one cat.
Yep. And you know what's crazy with your comparison to the Honey Badger and Tyrann Mathieu with Josh Jones is that Josh Jones is bigger. And he's faster. If he has three quarters of the football IQ that Tyrann Mathieu has, he is going to be a perennial All-Pro because he's so big and he is so fast. If he can read offenses and read quarterbacks' eyes and find the ball like Tyrann Mathieu can, he is just going to be a force to be reckoned with. And you accompany that with Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who's already turned himself into a Pro Bowl player, who I think is going to be, you know, that guy for a while. It's scary. The back end of our defense went from one of our weakest, probably the weakest spot on the field to possibly being one of our strong points. I know that's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie safety and a rookie corner and Kevin King, but it's realistic. And that's the reason why Ted got those guys. And everybody wants to say, well, they're only second rounders. Well, let's not forget how deep the draft was at both of those positions this year. There was probably a first round full of corners and safeties that all, like 32 picks. You could have picked 1 through 32 in the draft this year, and every single one of them could have been a corner or a safety, and they were first round draft grades. Everybody wants to rag on Ted and say, oh, we should have taken TJ Watt, blah, blah, blah. Well, he got two first rounders in the second round. It's going to prove to be invaluable, I hope. I hope we're right on these guys, because if we are, it's going to be scary. And I said this to some guys at work the other night, and it's probably a stretch because it's not going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did. And that probably doesn't make any sense to people, but I'm going to say to you, Josh Jones and Kevin King could possibly be fighting each other for Defensive Rookie of the Year on the same team.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I can't really deny that.
Those are my expectations out of those guys. And I know, like I said, I know that's a lot to expect out of two rookies coming in, but they're both first round talent. And when you get first round talent and you're expecting them to come in and play a major role right away, that's the type of stuff that you set them up for expectations wise.
I think that the pressure is a little bit more intense on Kevin King, obviously, just because of how bad the corners were and having to come in and basically be the savior to get the corners back, where Josh Jones, he basically gets to come in and they're just like, go do your thing. Yep. Like, just go and run around and smash people and have fun. I mean, that's the dream. So I think his pressure is off, and I think he's just ready to break. So, I'm excited, so excited about Josh Jones and just the secondary in general. I think Josh Jones, Kevin King, and Ha Ha Clinton Dix, And then hopefully Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins get back to kind of where they are, because now you look at it and they're kind of just there, you know.
They're just extra guys now, right, which is kind of scary.
A first and second pick. I mean,
yeah,
like, so that's pretty impressive that our first and second rounders, and it's just, I guess if you look at it in a certain way, it's not impressive, but our first and second rounders are our third and fourth guys, maybe even fourth and fifth. So, yeah, I think that there's no way that both of them regress again. I just can't see that happening. So, yeah,
here's what's scary to kind of touch on that point. You look at Kevin King, Demarius Randle, and Quentin Rollins. You have 2 second rounders and a first rounder. If Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins are absolutely awful again, and Kevin King is just eh, will you agree that Ted Thompson has done a major disservice to the Green Bay Packers defense in the last 5 years?
If all of them end up kind of being busts, yeah, of course.
And that's the scary thing, is you think you have all of this talent. It yeah. better pan out, because otherwise Ted's going to look like a pile.
Yeah,
at the end of the season.
Yeah, if Kevin King sucks and if Randle and Rollins regress, I mean, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where that's a huge setback for us. But I can't imagine all three of them. I mean, maybe Rollins just fades off into the dark, and or maybe Randle does, but I can't imagine all three just are terrible. That was just, oh my gosh, that would be so sad.
For Ted's sake, you better hope 2 of the 3 at least play at a par level.
You just basically got done talking about how great Ted was, so don't turn around and try to get mad at Ted. Ted's done a good job, you jerk.
I can flip flop on Ted as much as I want.
Yeah, because, I know you do all the time.
Because you love him so much, and somebody's got to ground you on him.
Yeah, whatever. All right. Let's check in one more time with one of our newest sponsors, Jim Cooper from Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold Facebook group, the group with over 30,000 fans.
When's the last time you shouted at the top of your lungs, "Go Pack Go"? Was it today? Was it yesterday? I hope it wasn't all the way back at the NFC Championship. Well, either way, we have a way to scream it every day, and no one will think you're crazy. Well, we welcome crazy. My name is Jim Cooper, and I am the founder of the largest Green Bay Packers fan group on Facebook. With over 30,000 members, this is the place to find it all. From the latest news, to the best fan shares, to knockout giveaways. Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold is the group for the biggest of Packer fans. Go to Facebook, find the group, get involved, be active, enter for all the giveaways, and always say it loud, say it proud, Go Pack Go.
People would most likely think that we're done here, but we got a few more, right?
Yeah. Go back to my quick mathematician skills from Great Neenah High School. That puts us at 50, I believe, and we have 3 spots left, and that's exactly what we need. We have our specialists, which is, you know, it's the specialist, so it's not like it's crazy intriguing and stuff like that, but there's only one, in my opinion, that's a lock, and that's Mason Crosby. He's top 5 kicker in the league, in my opinion. The conditions he kicks the ball in, the consistency he had last year, which really over the last couple of years, which is pretty crazy considering he damn near got cut a few years back. He's turned it around, and he's probably going to be my fantasy kicker in every league this year. So other than that, you got Justin Vogel, who is the only punter on the roster right now, I believe. And then Derek Hart, who is the long snapper. Both of those guys have jobs right now, but neither one would surprise me if they struggle at the beginning of camp that Mike McCarthy brings in guys to compete with them, and both of them lose their job. Let's not forget the punter situation last year. We had mass day, I believe, all of camp, and I think 2 or 3 days before camp was done, they brought in Shum, and he won the job. And the thing that's intriguing about the punter position is both of those guys are available at the moment. Maste and Shum are both free agents. So if Justin Vogel's not getting it done early in camp, don't be surprised to see one of those two, if not both, brought in. I know Shum's kind of dealing with a hip injury, and that was kind of the reason Green Bay let him go in the first place. But like I said, they have jobs now, and they're their jobs to lose. But it would not surprise me to see both of those guys out and replaced with whoever Mike McCarthy decides that day.
Yeah, my plan is for us just to not punt it.
Yeah, that would be great.
Just score every time, or otherwise we'll just take a high school Madden approach and just go for it on every fourth down. But, you know, Justin Vogel, I think, you know, that will be an interesting run. And Derek Hart, I mean, he's got the opportunity. We've had, you know, the same long snapper for so long. So it'll be fun to see a new one out there. But yeah, and Mason Crosby, you know, he's been consistent ever since, you know, he got signed for that big contract, then almost lost his job, then restructured his contract to basically be incentive based. And then he all of a sudden became great again, which is ironic.
They should just sign people on incentive-based contracts.
That's what I'm saying.
From their rookie year until they retire.
Yeah.
But guys would probably play forever.
Yeah, large incentives, though. You know, I mean, really give them something
right for
playing great. And I mean, we would see this league just go crazy. The only problem with that is then you have guys who are going to try to play through every injury in the world to try to make that dollar. So, I think specialists, you know, it's an up in the air thing. I can't really speak too much on it more than I like Crosby. I think Vogel's got potential, and it's interesting to see what happens.
Very interesting stat lines, and I feel like kind of a geek for even looking into it. But I was putting this together, and I was kind of looking at the punter position. And Justin Vogt, he's not a real long kicker. But the interesting stat for him is that out of like 40, I think it was 47 punts in his senior year, he had 39 of them that were not even returnable. So what I think they like about him is his hang time, because either his hang time or he had the best punt coverage team ever. But if you're not kicking the ball far, it better be high, right?
Yep.
Give your guys a chance to get down there and make a fair catch. It takes away a threat. That's valuable. Another interesting stat was that 69% of his punts were inside the 20. And 40% of those were inside the 10. So he's maybe not the deepest punter. So if we're backed up a lot, which I don't know, Green Bay doesn't have that problem. We have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. Maybe he's just a situational punter, and don't get too hung up on the distance of his punts. Kind of remind yourself this preseason when you're watching him kick, how long is that ball hanging up in the air, and how many times are people willing to take a chance to return that kick? That's almost as big of a battle as getting it down the field. So, like I said, kind of embarrassed that I even looked some of that stuff up, but that's only where we're at. I mean,
only on the sweep can you get straight up punt stats. That's what makes this show. Is if you're looking for punt stats, you come to the sweep. We got them for you.
Well, and you know what? I always catch myself, and I'm not the only one. I know this. A few years back, we were all whining and bitching and complaining that the punter cost us a few games because we couldn't flip field position ever. And it's true. It's something that is valuable in the NFL. It's important. Field position matters. Rodgers talks about it all the time. If we can't ever flip field position in a game and we have one bad series, it can screw up our entire game plan. A punter can save that game plan. Believe it or not, people, it's a fact. We don't think about it when they do good because it doesn't matter that much, we say. It goes unnoticed when they do good, but when they're bad, we know. So having a good punter is valuable to a team, and I even get a little embarrassed because I'm saying that and sticking up for him, but it's valuable, people. Don't forget about the punter.
Don't forget about the punter. Hashtag don't forget about the punter. All right, so there we go. We got our 53. Like we had said, you know, things will change. We don't know exactly how the season's going to, you know, unfold. Hopefully no injuries. Training camp, folks, is tomorrow. So excited about it. This is it. This is the beginning of the season. We're going to start seeing guys kind of take shape, take form, and let us know what we're going to be doing. We'll be with you guys all throughout training camp, coming in with episodes, from, you know, being there. Well, we're going to be there. Me and Blaine will be there a few different times. So we'll be able to tell you guys exactly what we're seeing, who looks good, who looks bad, what the weather's like, all that kind of good stuff. So anyone who's not able to make it, just check in with us and we'll make sure and make you feel like you're there. And once again, thank you to our three sponsors, Pride and Glory Clothing Company, Go Pack, Go I Bleed, Green and Gold, the Facebook group, and Ground Round and Nina. We appreciate and look forward to another awesome season with you guys. And I'm just excited. Football's back, man. I'm sick of watching everything else. I want to see some football. I even watched some Canadian football last night just because I was just fiending so bad to see it. So I know that not only I mean arena football I would probably watch at this point. But I'm excited. I know even the rest of my family's excited. My wife even told me the other day how pumped she is about football. Never heard anything sexier come out of her mouth. So it's exciting. Stick with us. We're going to be around all year. Check us out on Facebook. Go up to that little search button, type in the sweep, and you will find us. That's where we're at. You guys can send us questions, send us pictures, tell us your stories, tell us your stories from training camp. We're always down to talk. And then you can check us out as well on Twitter at @thesweep_PTTF. Again, there you guys can send us whatever you want. We're always ready to banter with you guys. So make sure and keep a close eye on us this year. Put us as your favorites. Put us down on your phone. Make sure you guys are listening. Any final thoughts, Blaine?
No. All I got to say is if you are going out to a practice and you do recognize the beautiful Fred Thurston in my ugly mug, we'll probably be wearing some Pride and Glory clothing company shirts and or hats. Come up to us. Say hi. We love meeting other Packer fans that are into it as much as we are. We'd love to interact with you guys. We want you to remember that you guys are the reason that this is happening. You guys give us the opportunity to give our opinions and to an audience, and we appreciate that. So if you do ever see us, if you don't know what we look like, just go to the sweep on Facebook. Our pictures are up there. My ugly mug and Fred's pretty face is there. If you see us, come talk to us. We love to talk to you guys, whether it's about football, whether it's about what we talk about on the show, or anything else. Badgers, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, whatever it is. We love hearing from you. So get at us.
If it's Wisconsin, we know all about it. So just check us out. Talk to us. Even if you just want to scream the sweep or scream Pride and Glory to us, we're always down to hear it. So looking forward to it. The season starts. And with that being said,
you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
Go Pack, go, baby.
Go Pack.